Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 12th of September 2021 Sunday class. We will be continuing from this transcript book, second lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. We are at page 38. The Six Patriarch Dhamma Jewel Platform is the specific name of the sutra. The word sutra is its general name. Sutra is a Sanskrit word which means a tally above. It tallies with the true principles of all Buddhas and below with the opportunity of teaching living beings. So these are the tallies. Above, it tallies with true suchness, the miraculous principles of all Buddhas, and below it tallies with the living being who need the teaching. Thus, a sutra tallies with both the principles and the opportunity. So this one is a general explanation. It's not much use for us unless we are interested in Dhamma scriptures and how all this arise. The word sutra has four additional meanings. So apart from tally, there are four more meanings. All these we will skip through quickly as they are not that important because it's the way they actually prepare the sutra, how they actually come up with the title and all those things. So out of the four additional meaning, the first one is stringing together. The principles of the Buddha Dharma are linked together by the sutra, just like beads that are strung together on a string. Then the second additional meaning is attracting, creating the opportunity for teaching living beings. A sutra attracts living beings just like a magnet attracts iron filings. All living beings who wish to study the Buddha Dharma will be drawn to the principles in the sutra like iron filings to a magnet. Then the third additional meaning is permanent. From antiquity to the present, a sutra does not change. Not one word can be deleted. Not one meaning can be added. Not increasing or decreasing. A sutra is permanent. Unchanging. Then the fourth additional meaning is methods. A sutra is a method respected by living beings in the three periods of time. In the past, living beings relied upon this method to cultivate and attain Buddhahood. In the present, living being depends upon it to move from the position of foolish common people to that of Buddhahood. In the future, living beings will also cultivate according to this method. A sutra is a method then venerated through the three periods of time. So this one is for info. This is their interpretation. They are not important. The word sutra has many more meanings. For example, a sutra is like a bubbling spring. Principles flow from it, like water bubbling up out of the earth. It's also like a carpenter's chalk line, which makes a perfectly clear straight line. But if you understand the first four meaning, you understand the basic meaning. To explain a sutra correctly, one must first outline it according to the five profound meanings of the Tian Tai school. First is explaining the name. According to the seven kinds of sutra titles explained previously, this sutra is established by reference to people or person, Dhamma, analogy, and place. Then we have the discriminating the substance. The sutra takes the real mark as the substance. The real mark is without a mark, and yet there is nothing which is not marked by it. Then number three is clarifying the principle. The principle of this sutra is the realization of Buddhahood. If you cultivate according to this sutra, you can realize the Buddha position. Then finally, discussing the function. The sutra's function is to lead you to understand the mind and see your own nature. So this one is the basic function. If you want to develop understanding of Mahayana Sutra or the actual teachings of Sammasambuddhas, you must understand the function of sutra. So its main function is to lead you to understand the mind. You have two minds. Then when you identify them and realize them, you will see your own nature. So your own nature is the ultimate nature. From that nature, the mundane mind arise, all things arise. So if you understand the mind, you have no worries. If you can see your own nature, you have no cares, means you have no problems. No longer do you quit worrying about one problem, only to begin worrying about another, and when the one is solved, find yet another one coming to take its place. So you are no longer doing that. If you understand the mind and see your own nature, then everything is easy. This is very true. Cultivation demands this understanding and the realization of the true nature. That's why I explain it there to the next paragraph. Ah, this statement is very true and very profound. You understand your mind, meaning your mundane mind, your five aggregates of form and mind, and see your own nature, your true mind, then everything is very easy. So this one is expanded on by me, because the commentaries from Xuan Huang, Master Xuan Huang, he didn't explain this part. He just used the word mind. You must understand mind. Then you must see your own nature. Means realize your true nature, your true mind. Here, the very profound understanding is you have to understand you have a mundane mind. And your mundane mind is your worldly mind, your thinking mind, which the Buddha defined as the five aggregates of form and mind. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. There are two aspects to it. So this five aggregate in Mandarin or Mahayana, they call it the Wu Yun. So if you have heard of the Maya Sutra, especially the Heart Sutra, they will always explain to you about this Wu Yun, the five aggregates of form and mind. Wu Yun Jie Kong. They are empty because they have the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering nature, and non-self or empty nature. So this is the deep meaning. And when you can understand the mundane mind and your five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects, then you can silence your mind to realize your own true mind or true nature. And when you can do that, you will awaken. Like what the sutra say, everything become very easy. Then there is one more, Determine the teaching marks. So after you understand the function, you have to determine the teaching mark. The sutra is like sweet dew, the heavenly elixir of immortality. Drink it once and you will never die. The sutra is also like ghee, a clarified butter with the most miraculous and subtle of taste. Ghi is also used to describe the sutra spoken by Sakyamuni Buddha during the Dharma flower and lotus Nirvana period of his teaching. So there is a note. According to the Tiantai school, systematized by the great master Ci during 538 to 597, this one should be 80, is one of the great teaching schools of Chinese Buddhism. It takes as its basic text the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra and divide the Buddha's teaching into five periods. Each period is represented by an analogy of a milk product. The first period is Avatamsaka period, which only lasted for 21 days after the Buddha's enlightenment. So the milk product is synonymous to homak, means this is the first stage, homak. Then the Buddha taught for another 12 years the agama. The analogy of the milk product is from homak, it has become coagulated milk. Then for the next 8 years, he taught during the Waipula or Waipuya period. The milk analogy is cuddle milk. Then the fourth period lasted for 22 years. That one is the longest and the most profound. It's Prajna Paramita, perfection of wisdom. So during that period, he taught this Prajna Paramita teaching, and the milk product analogy that was given is it has become butter. So this is the period where you really like it, butter. Then finally, of course, if it become clarified butter, or we call ghee, is the best. Lotus Flower Nirvana Sutra. This period, the Buddha taught for 8 years. The original Dhamma of the Avatamsaka is like fresh milk. With each new teaching, it becomes richer and purer, yet it is still the same basic material, Dhamma food. So the beauty of Dhamma is it is always of the same basic substance. It's just like the Dhamma I share is always from the same essential Dhamma. The Four Noble Truths is three turning and all the essential Dhamma. But from there, it can spin off all the teachings. And even the cultivation, you can have the sainthood way, bodhisattva way, the perfection of paramitas, the 10 perfection to become Sammasambuddha. Everything is covered. But the basic substance is all the time the same. That's why in the early days, I remember, after sharing for about 8 to 10 years, there is a Kayamita who asked me, Matthew, over the years when you teach, did you change? I say, I don't think so. The basic teaching is the same. I may explain deeper understanding, deeper Dhamma, because earlier on there were no conditions for such teaching. Then later on when there were conditions, I go deeper. But deeper doesn't mean I teach new things. No, deeper means I can express the understanding to help cultivator understand the path that they will reach. But all these are from the same basic substance that I have taught in the early years, which are the Four Noble Truths and its three turnings that spin out the essential Dhamma that I have been sharing. That's the reason why I always express it very clearly. If you understand the Theravada teaching, the basic teaching of Sakyamuni Buddha, you can understand the Mahayana teaching. There is no difference. They are the same, from the same basic substance. If you have those understanding, then whatever you share, you teach, the basic substance behind is always the same. There is no change. So these are the explanations. They are not so really important. But anyway, we just go to it. Then I continue. I think the next chapter is trying to introduce to you the five previous Chinese patriarch before Master Hui Ning. This one, we keep it for next class. We can go back and read it out for yourself if you want to. Page 9 onwards. Anybody has any question regarding the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta thus far? Are you all surprised? Suddenly the recording becomes so clear and without any more disturbance again. So at that time also there's a lot of strange phenomena. Then one of the Kayamita asked, I have a question which is probably a bit dumb. It's a very basic question. Basically, you say you have to have an open mind to receive the teaching. Then my question is, there might be an issue here. You look at everything with an open mind because certain teachings, certain path lead you to a bad path. How then can you say if you do not use what you have learned previously to screen it, you won't learn the wrong thing because there are so many paths in the world, more bad ones than good ones? So this type of question is very relevant, and it's not dumb. That's why I replied, that's a very good question. Then I asked back the Kayanimitta, I said, what is your understanding? You mentioned that you must not have an open mind. Is that your final conclusion? Then I think it's a she. Now I remember who is she. She answered, no. My conclusion is, how can you put a filter in place? If that is your meaning, then it's different. Then I will ask you, I will answer your question. That is a very good question. That's why I like people who inquire so that we can discuss it. It's meant to be a Dhamma discussion. Dhamma discussion is important. I respect you for what you are. Likewise, I hope you respect me for what I am. We are here to share understanding. Therefore, no right, no wrong. Because right and wrong will lead to unnecessary conflicts, argument, divisions of opinion, and non-beneficial things or dialogue. What is important is this Dhamma sharing must be done to benefit everyone. Do you understand? Sharing with mutual understanding and respect is very important. If I respect you for what you are, and you respect me for what we are, then what we share becomes beneficial. So these are the understanding behind. That's why in the early years, before I really come out to share, I requested for understanding. That's why I introduced three conditions. So these are the two of the three conditions. We are not talking about right and wrong. We are not trying to argue over a teaching or a Dhamma. Then we are not trying to be protective of what we believe in. My teaching, my teacher, my method, and my technique, etc. All these are no more issue. So what we are here for is to sincerely share something that we understand And then we open it up for discussion. No right, no wrong, because for people with that understanding, they will think it is right. But right according to them. Right according to them is still right. That's why there is no right, no wrong in the ultimate sense, because that right is a relative convention of right according to individual. Likewise, if I say something, I will never say it's right. I would say that this is the Dhamma that I understand. This is the truth that I have realized. It's up to you whether to use it, accept it, or make full use of whatever that is helpful and beneficial to help you move. Then you will benefit from such sharing or discussion. Whatever you cannot understand, unless you are very sure that it is not the correct one, then it's better for you to have an open mind. Like I said, what happened if it is the truth or the true one? This is the teaching that you have not yet understood because it's beyond your understanding now. If you don't have an open mind, then you will create unnecessary coming problem or coming obstruction of coming negativity by reacting negatively to what you have heard. Rejecting it is okay, but reacting to it negatively is very dangerous. Then when you start to say things heedlessly and hit out at others harshly, it's even more dangerous. So this one, I think in the early days, because I witnessed quite a lot of this happening, that's why I was very careful and tactful when I decided to come out. In the early years, the reason why I didn't do anything for the first 14 or 15 years, 1989 to 2004, is because my nature is actually quite concerned about those who don't have the understanding getting hit by all this karmic thing, because it's very difficult to share a type of understanding that is at that time not popular and very few people can comprehend or understand. So if you do that, you are looking for trouble. That's why I had to wait till causes and conditions are there. Then I introduce the three conditions before I accept the invitation to come out to share. So luckily that was done. So until now, almost 17 years later, so far so good. Okay, I read on. So out of love and compassion for living being, I call this a Dhamma sharing session. Sharing means no right, no wrong, like what I had explained. Whatever sharing that is beneficial, use it. Whatever you cannot understand, just let it be and have an open mind. Then there is no more argument, no more right and wrong. Then the discussion can be very open, very frank, and very meaningful and beneficial. Then everybody can feel free to comment and suggest or even share whatever he or she understands. So with that as the basis, I will answer you. So after that, I think that Kayamita become different after hearing this. Your question is about filtering, which is very good. Filtering is something you can only do when you have a view or an opinion. If you don't have a view or opinion, you don't filter. You can have an open mind because you are open to truth. What you have to do, according to Lord Buddha, is you have to listen first. Listen attentively. Don't filter before you investigate. Can you understand? So this part very few cultivators understand. If you don't listen, you cannot investigate whether this is the truth or not, whether this person has wisdom and understanding beyond what we have or not. But if you can discern through your understanding, then you become beautiful. You don't just filter with your views and opinion. That is very dangerous. Filter with your views and opinion means you only want to listen to things that fit into your belief system, into what you think is the truth or the correct teaching. Such a person has this danger, just like what the Buddha said in the Salika Sutta. If you hold on tenaciously to your views and opinion, then even the Buddha cannot help you. Also, according to the Zen analogy, if your cup is full, when your cup is full, whatever tea you pour in will all flow out, because you don't give it a chance for you to investigate with an open mind. If you have an open mind, it means you can listen without prejudice, without a view or opinion, or whether it's right or wrong. You will just listen and investigate. Then according to the Buddha's advice to the Kalamas, it is very easy for you to develop the understanding. The Buddha told the Kalamas, if you follow the advice given, you ask two questions. Does it harm you? Does it harm others? If it doesn't harm anyone, then you have nothing to lose. Maybe this is something beyond your understanding, and you still don't understand. But that will be the criteria you can use. If you want to say that itself is a filter, then I think it's a very good filter. But if you filter with a view and an opinion, that is not a good filter, because you don't give truth a chance. So this one is very important. When you filter with understanding, it means as long as it doesn't harm you or harm others, you have nothing to lose. At the most, you will waste some time trying to find out. We are investigating it, because when I agree to try it out, we are putting it into practice. I have not believed it yet. Like the Buddha said, do not believe anything, including what he said. Where his teaching, which is the Dhamma, is the truth. And if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. That's the reason why this Dhamma is ahipasiko. He can invite the monks to come and investigate it, because the truth will stand up to investigation. And since the Dhamma is related to life, you can put it to test in real life situation. If you investigate this way, you will not get into trouble. If it does not stand up to the test or investigation, then you can drop it. Because this is something for you to find out and investigate upon. But if you listen according to your views and opinion, and you try to filter, that is not listening at all. That is resisting with your views and opinion. That's why in the early day, I have also taught the art of listening in one of the house dana session at Sister Nancy's house in Klang. I think the brown book, The Essential Dhamma of the Buddha, where I talk about the art of listening. You must know how to listen, otherwise you will listen with your views and opinion, then conditioning, and you will not benefit, you will get into trouble. I will read on. Oh, I mentioned it here. The art of listening is different, because in the art of listening, first, you listen with an open mind and you don't filter. You listen and then you investigate. But if you listen with a filter, with a view, an opinion, you are not listening at all. You are commenting, verbalizing, judging, and reacting. The moment you listen, you start commenting. You start to say, cannot be. Truth is not like that. You cannot accept everything with an open mind. If you listen with an open mind, then how are we going to filter things? How? So this type of reasoning from the thought can arise. So when you start to do all this, do you know what is happening? Means you are not listening attentively. You are preoccupied with your reaction, judgment, views, opinion, and conditioning. So this part is very important. A lot of very important messages from the teaching and sharing, you didn't get a chance to listen because your own views and opinion are opposing what are being said. There is this subtle right and wrong idea or principle behind. That's why the art of listening is to listen with an open mind, without prejudice, because you can just approach it with sincerity. I don't know. When you start with the understanding that I don't know, then I can listen objectively with an open mind. I can investigate. I can listen and I can find out. I don't want to preempt anything. If it's the truth, I will learn. I will benefit. So all these are very important. When I listen with an open mind, it doesn't mean I believe and accept what is being said. I listen, then I investigate and put it to test. If what they advise, when I put it to test, cause me harm and harm others, I will not even investigate because it has got no benefit and it causes suffering via delusion. Say, that is how the Buddha taught the Kalamas, because the Kalamas were a group of people who didn't know what truth is. Then there are so many teachers who came and teach, all teach differently. So one day the head of the Kalamas gathered all his people. They had heard so much about Sakyamuni Buddha at that time, that he was very famous. So they decided to approach him. The leader asked him this question, which was very good. And Sakyamuni Buddha answered him in a very beautiful way. That's how it became the very famous Kalama Sutta. The Buddhists always refer to this sutta. The Buddha told the Kalamas, you don't have to believe anything just because it is spoken by a great being who is widely accepted, acknowledged, and famous. Or just because it's written in a very famous holy book, or whatever status that person may carry. The key point is to have an open mind, not to believe, but to investigate into everything that has been spoken. He even told the Kalamas not to believe what he said. If you just believe, then it's blind faith because you haven't put it to test and you haven't investigated it to find out whether it stands up to investigation or not, or whether this can bring about downfall, unnecessary suffering and problem in the future or not. If you just believe, that is blind faith. Then like the blind leading the blind, you will end up somewhere else, debate. The criteria is very simple. When I listen with an open mind, I can reflect and check because I have listened. I have given this particular sharing a chance. I have listened thoroughly, meaning I understand what this person is trying to tell me to do. But I do not reject when I listen. I have clarity of mind while listening. Then when I listen and understand what has been spoken, I can put it to test. This first criteria is very simple. Then I can inquire if I cultivate according to what he said, does it harm me? Does it harm others? If it doesn't, I have nothing to lose. So I can investigate it further. When you investigate it, it becomes very simple. Just like the Buddha's Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Are you all familiar with Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Oh, some of you are not familiar with the Buddhist teaching. Okay, never mind. These two Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 are very simple, but they are very important. Maybe I will explain the Dhammapada verse first. Do you understand what Dhammapada verse are? So this one is for those who still don't have the understanding. Eh? The Buddha spoke a lot of truth during his time, but they managed to compile a total of 423 of this truth and put them into a book called the Dhammapada Verses of the Buddha. Dhammapada Verses are words of wisdom spoken by the Buddha. And these are very unique and very powerful wisdom code because they are evergreen, is forever applicable. Do you know the meaning of evergreen? Evergreen means it is always applicable, irrespective of what period of civilization or era. Evergreen means it's a universal truth that can withstand the test of time and will be applicable forever, no matter during what period of civilization, whether it's very ancient or modern or medieval age. If you were to look at history, it is not easy for any human being to come out with even one word that will last for a certain period of time as truth. It is very difficult. Take, for example, science. During the early days, Newton's law of motion was so popular. The apple dropped on his head and he discovered gravity. Newton's law of motion and law of action and reaction was so popular. Initially, they were so accurate, including the law of gravity. He can even calculate the movement of the planets and the gravitational pull. Newtonian mechanics became very popular. That's why they initially called it a hypothesis. Then after it passed the test, from hypothesis, it became a theory. Theory means it's accepted because it has been tested and proven. Then what happened when Einstein arrived? He revolutionized the Newtonian mechanics. The whole of the Newtonian mechanics collapsed, failed, and could not stand up to the test because Einstein came out in the fourth dimension. He said time is relative. Can you understand? So this time you are not a science student, it's very difficult for you to understand. Einstein came out with a theory of relativity and he said time is dependent on speed. This one I think a lot of non-science students cannot understand. Even science students find it difficult to understand. So when you, Einstein came out with a theory of relativity and said time is dependent on speed. Okay. When your speed, tends towards the speed of light, there is no time. Means you are in the timeless. This one is physical time. Do you know? When you reach the speed of light, you don't age. It's like you are in the timeless. We call that one the state you are in is the timeless. Means you don't age. If you can travel continuously at the speed of light, you don't age. And scientists have proved it, the theory of relativity. So they call it the timeless. There is a formula on it. Yeah, I studied it when I was in Form 6. I know how that formula works. It's something like time is equal to the square root of 1 minus your speed divided by the speed of light, the whole thing square, then close bracket. So your speed over the speed of light, S over C. If your speed tends towards the speed of light, what happened to that fraction? C over C become 1. So 1 square of 1 is still 1. 1 minus 1 is 0. Square root of 0 is indeterminate. That's why time stop, timeless. And there's a formula on it. You go and study science, you will know. Then he said that the relative velocity between two entities, when both travel near the speed of light, is not according to Newtonian mechanics anymore. When the speed increases, let's say, when the speed is slow at 1,000 km per hour traveling this direction and the opposite direction, another 1,000 miles per hour. Relative velocity according to Newtonian mechanics is 1,000 plus 1,000, because these two will meet at a relative velocity of 2,000 miles per hour. Einstein said, in under the scenario where you tend towards the speed of light, the Newtonian mechanic doesn't work this way. The relative velocity is not the sum of the two. So Einstein said, no, there are some numbers at the end that is dependent on the theory of relativity. And because of those numbers, when you reach near the speed of light, let's say this entity travels near the speed of light and the other entity also travels near the speed of light, when the two goes on different direction, their relative velocity should be twice the speed of light, or almost that figure, isn't it? But according to Einstein's theory of relativity, Einstein said no. The fastest moving entity within the phenomenal world is still the speed of light. It cannot exceed the speed of light because the speed of light is the fastest within matter. Then that Newtonian mechanics theory collapsed. Later on, they managed to come up with more advanced theory, like the quantum theory at microscopic level, and the photon theory, and the wave particle duality, or the light quantum theory. Wave particle duality of light. Then quantum theory tells us that both light and matter consists of tiny particles which have wave-like properties associated with them. Light is composed of particles called photons, and matter is composed of particles called electrons, protons, and neutrons. Quantum field theory is a branch of physics which explains the fundamental theory of nature at the small scale and energy level of atoms and subatomic particles. That's why when it comes to quantum field theory, it is very abstract, and it is involving very microscopic type of phenomena or events. What I'm trying to say is, it's not easy to come up with one truth that is evergreen. Well, everything is subject to condition and everything else. So it's not only scientific truth. There are spiritual truth. The power of spiritual truth is very unique because it's based on wisdom, which is so profound. And the Buddha was able to come up with 423 such truths. And until now, since the passing away of the Buddha over 2,000 years ago, they are still applicable, evergreen. And you can investigate upon them because these are truths related to the spiritual teaching. The first two Dhammapada words are very simple. You can put them to test as explained by the Buddha. According to the Buddha, he said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. If you don't take care of the mind, if you don't allow your mind to be heedful, meaning you don't give any attention to it, you just allow it to do what it likes, then this mind becomes heedless. Heedless means you are not serious about life. You are not training it. You are not giving it any importance. You just do what you like. You want to kill, you kill. You want to do whatever you do, like deceive people, because you are heedless. You are not interested in its consequence. You are not interested in the truth that governs life and existence. If you were to act, speak, and think with this type of heedless mind that is not trained, the Buddha said, the evil roots born of delusion, which are greed, hatred, and self-delusion, will arise. For such a being, suffering will follow him, just like the wheel that follow the hoof of the ox wheel. This is Dhammapada verse 1. The Buddha said, your life, you decide how you want to live. You don't have to believe it. You can put it to test. A greedy person, a selfish person, a violent person, an emotional person with a lot of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, deceitfulness, etc. And people who have a lot of what they call craving, lust, desire to own things, to possess things, to take advantage of things such as people. When they live life with all these evil roots, are they happy? Such a person, when they live their life with all these evil roots or emotion, are they happy? Do they inflict suffering on people? That's why the verse says, suffering will follow them. Yeah, there is this law of karma, the spiritual law. You reap what you sow, do good because good, do evil because evil. Finally, it will hit back and you will become afflicted, miserable. You don't believe? You can try cheating and lying. You can try to commit sexual misconduct, rape people, or misappropriate things. Let's see what happened to your life. Suffering will follow you. Whereas the opposite, complementary verse, which is Dhammapada verse 2, the Buddha says, similarly, when you understand the importance of mind, because mind is a forerunner of all things and mind is chief, when mind arises, everything arises. So if you are heedful, you choose to take care of mind, train this mind so that it's ever mindful, not to arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which is selfishness, craving, desire, and lust. Hatred is envy, jealousy, violence, emotional negativity, and delusion. All those mind states relate to those evil roots of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, etc. Then for such a being, the Buddha said, happiness will follow him like a shadow that never leaves him. After you have trained your mind to be heedful, to be mindful of your mental intention, all these evil roots will not arise. And you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind, that is free of all these evil roots. Evil roots are roots of all evil. They will make you evil. When you are selfish, which is an evil root of greed, you can kill, harm, and do all sorts of negative things because of your selfishness. That's why it's an evil root. When you are angry, which is also an evil root, you can become violent. You can kill, harm, and do a lot of funny things too. That's why it's called an evil root. Out of fear, you will also do those sort of things. Fear is also an evil root of self-delusion. But out of love, you will never do such a thing. You are heedful to cultivate virtue, love, understanding, respect, gratitude, contentment, etc. All this will lead to happiness. That's the reason why a person who is heedful train their mind and develop a keen attention to check their mental intention behind all his actions, speech, and thought process. Such a person, the Buddha said, happiness will follow him just like the shadow that never leaves him. Just like how we started just now. Precepts of virtues are the source of happiness. They are the source of spiritual wealth and spiritual peacefulness of mind. You don't kill, harm, misappropriate things, commit sexual misconduct, etc. You don't lie or deceive people. You don't take intoxicants that make consciousness, your consciousness low and lead to downfall. You will have a lot of peace and happiness. If you do not violate all this, sorry, if you do and violate all this, you become evil. You will have a lot of enemies. A lot of people will come after you. The law, the society's law will also come after you. Then there is fear, worry, and anxiety leading to restlessness of mind, phobia, panic attack, and all the negativity of mind state. That's why you have to understand the importance of training one's mind to keep the precept so that you don't make mistakes in life. These Dhammapada verses are just the first two twin verses. You can investigate further. But you don't have an open mind because you have another type of teaching. Then you say you want to filter. Before you understand, before you investigate, you want to filter. My advice is you must check whether if you follow, will it harm you and others or not. Like the precepts spoken by the Buddha. If you have greed, hatred, and delusion, you can check whether you can harm people or not, whether you will become evil or not. The moment you check and realize that if you have selfishness, you will become evil. You will harm, deceive, and you will do all those evil things. Then it not only harms you karmically, it will also harm others, and this is something you must not do. This is a very good and easy check. The moment you check and it stand up to investigation, then you should ask yourself, my life, how should I live my life? I don't want to end up following Dhammapada verse 1 and become afflicted and miserable. I don't want to have suffering. Then you will determine to cultivate, to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware and attentive, so that you are incapable of negativity. That's the reason why the Buddha, in his advice to the Kalamas, is to investigate into everything, and the best check is to see whether it harms you or harm others or not. If you do this, you are well protected. But please don't filter before you listen. Can you understand? When you listen and try to filter with your views and opinion, you are not listening. You are actually judging, reacting, commenting, and that's what living beings are doing throughout the day most of the time. That's why they were fail to listen. So all this can lead to misunderstanding, conflict, argument, and all this thing. So the art of listening is very important. To listen with an open mind means I don't prejudge the sharing, the situation. I will just listen and then I will put it to test and investigate. Only we are checking. If I do, does it harm me and harm others? If that investigative criteria pass, I tell myself there is no harm following the advice. Yeah, it doesn't harm others and it doesn't harm me. There is no karmic effect. So I can give it a try. Then I put it to test. I really put it to test. And if it stands up to investigation, I will adopt it and use it for the good of the many. Because I can learn from it. I can benefit from it. This is the meaning of having an open mind. This is the purpose of having an open mind discussion. Which means, we do not want to prejudge any sharing. Then whatever I don't understand yet, I will maintain an open mind and still agree to accept whatever is shared based on our respect for our mutual understanding. For this is what he or she believes to be right or the truth. Then we respect them for what they are. But if I have an understanding that allows me to explain it to you in a different way, then I will explain it to you without having to dwell on the issue of right and wrong. I just explain to you clearly that this can be explained in another way. Then you can go back and investigate again and then make a decision where this is lying. Nothing to do with my nature or me. My duty is to share. After that, whether you understand, don't understand, agree or don't agree or accept, is not important. The important message is, whatever is shared, please do listen with an open mind. Take whatever that you can benefit, that can benefit you, and use it for the good of the many and yourself. And that is very important. To me, it's not about right and wrong. It's about how you can develop the wisdom and understanding to improve your life so that you can be a better human being, to develop the understanding of life. Okay? You can add or share any of your understanding. No problem. Then the Kayamita reply is, what you said, there are two ways to look at it. One is personally for me, the way I grew up in this world, and considering I was from the science stream, we were taught from very young through education to have an opinion. So in order to have an open mind, it's not a natural instinct. When you go to work, you cannot be too open. You need to make a decision immediately. How do you flip in there? It should be how do you flip, this word to must be cancelled. How do you flip? How do you learn to be totally open in your approach in life? Okay, we have corrected it. Page 55. We will take a note then. Maybe ask Jin Hao to adjust it. I think I understand what you mean. When it comes to career and work environment or situation, you find it very difficult to have an open mind. I'm indeed very surprised when you say, as a science student, you were trained to have opinion. I never learned that. I'm also a science student. I never learned that in my science subject. What I mean is the Kayamita's answer. What I mean is opinion in terms of, for example, when you are doing a research project, you need to propose a hypothesis, right? Then I reply, I say, yeah, hypothesis is something I am not sure as yet, and it's not an opinion. I want to do a research thesis. A thesis is something my lecturer gives to me. You do this thesis because this field could be a green field and it's not clearly understood yet, because there are a lot of new ideas being presented. That's why you do a thesis on it. Then the thesis will be based on what you think is the truth. That is a hypothesis, not an opinion expressed. Then the Kayamita reply, but in the scientific field, research is built upon previous truth, and that's how science evolves. The problem I'm faced with is, I was brought up as a Buddhist, and the issue that I have is it's very difficult to look at it thoroughly with an open mind. It's near impossible because you are already brought up with a preconceived notion. My second question is in terms of when you say that the initial filtering is do not harm or to yourself and others, which is fine in theory, but I think she asked me to comment. Then I answered. I said, that is not filtering. Just give me 1 minute. When you listen, you must listen with an open mind. Don't exercise any prejudgment or filtering. When you listen with a view, an opinion, you are not listening with an open mind. You are listening with your prejudice inside. That's why you said you have an expressed opinion already. With that opinion, you approach the meeting. You approach your company discussion, and then you become, and then it becomes your opinion against others' opinion. That is the first point I want to make clear. Because when I say you check, it means investigate whether it harms yourself or harm others or not. And this is not a filtering. Filtering means the moment you filter, you express an opinion which is not checking. Checking means I don't know. That's why I find out. I check whether it harms me or not. If it harms me, then stop it straight away. No need to investigate further. Suddenly, if it harms others, no need to investigate too. Yeah. Similarly, if it harms others, no need to investigate. This is what I meant by you listen and you filter. No. Oh, sorry. This is not what I meant by you listen and you filter. No. When you listen, you don't filter. You listen until you understand, then you give it a check. That check is not a filtering. That check is just to check whether it harms others or not. If it harms others and harms you, then this is something against nature's law. Something that will bring about downfall and suffering. Definitely, you will never go ahead because it doesn't stand up to investigation. Maybe later you can continue and finish off your second question. Then I will try my best to make it clearer for you to understand based on my understanding. Your first question, before I forget, can I answer it first? You talk about scientific understanding of expressing opinion. You say without opinion as a science student, you cannot move. Let's say during the olden days, when we do not understand science that well, a few of those famous scientists like Galileo, Copernicus, they were put into jail. Why? Because they say the Earth is not the center of the universe. And Earth was only one of the planets that go around the sun. Then when they say that Earth is round, nobody believed them because everybody say, how can the Earth be round? Then when they say Earth rotates on its axis and go around in space, it was even more difficult for society to accept at that time. But like you said, science manages to evolve through all this because it is the truth. Science is not based on belief, whereas most religion is based on belief. That's why the church condemned the scientists and put them to jail. But as science is based on hypothesis leading to theory, because people want to see proof. So when the scientists can prove it, then only is accepted. This is what I mean by an open mind. I don't reject, I investigate. Then I come up with hypothesis and I confirm it with experiment before accepting it as theory. The moment you realize the truth, they progress very fast. If it's not the truth, scientists or science stagnate. That's why after all these years, they come to realize that the scientific approach is similar to the Buddhist teaching. They investigate into everything, and if they stand up to investigation, then only they accept. That is what I meant by having an open mind. If we have a closed mind like the earliest churches, because they don't believe in all this, they say this is again God's written law. Men are born special. Born in the image of God, man is the center of the universe. Therefore, Earth must be the center of the universe by deduction. This is how they believe. And what they believe is not the truth. The truth, when it surfaces, humanity will evolve and grow. As humanity evolve and grow or progress, all these belief systems, one by one, they start to collapse. That's why the rise of science and technology leads to better and better understanding of nature's truth. It is still evolving. even though the earlier scientists thought they have understood the law. I like this sentence that say, the more you understand, the more you know, the more you don't know. Do you agree? Scientists now realize the more they know, the more mystery they unfold. Now there is the latest revelation. Every Milky Way, or what they call a major galaxy, there is one very, very big hole. Very big black hole, not big hole. That is like the center that drives the whole galaxy and Milky Way. The black hole is so huge in proportion that scientists can never understand how it arises. How come it is like that? But based on what they observe through the Hubble telescope, they can detect it because they emit a type of light that is so bright. The brightness in the universe, and there are so many billions of them in the universe. That's why the more they probe, the more mystery they unfold. It's very difficult to put a statement of truth. It's very difficult to put a statement of truth that can be applicable forever or remain evergreen. This is something nobody can do. But when you look at the Dhammapada verse, you will be very surprised. The Buddha not only come up with one, but 423 verses that are evergreen until today. That's why the enlightenment of the Buddha is very unique. It's not that we try to praise the founder of this religion. According to the Buddha, he said, this teaching, the Dhamma, was already there before him, before he proclaimed the truth, before he proclaim it, the truth was already there in the midst of life and nature. He only discovered it, realized it, like the scientists after his enlightenment. Now scientists have discovered most of the important scientific parameters and entities that they need to understand our universe better. There is only one part that they fail to break through, and that's the main reason why the unified theory cannot come about. They discovered electricity, gravity, electromagnetic field, and even discovered a lot of those other very important entities that scientists benefited from, except one thing. Even the thought, they have gone into it quite deeply. But consciousness is one thing they cannot penetrate. That's why the unified theory cannot come about, because they fail to understand the consciousness part. Consciousness is the only entity that can move or travel beyond the speed of light. I have explained this before. The furthest entity that scientists can probe is about 15 to 17 billion light years away. Traveling at the speed of light, you need 17 billion years to reach the entity you can observe from the Hubble telescope. That's a very long time. So let's say you want to make a phone call at the speed of light. You dial, 17 billion years later, the message only reached there. And for the other end to say hello and come back to you, another 17 billion years of traveling time at the speed of light. So we cannot function even at the speed of light. All this has no more meaning. But the time, because by the time the message reached there, the whole universe is different again. But there is an entity that can be within the moment, which they call the wormhole. They talk about consciousness, super consciousness that can be there in an instant. So without consciousness, without the understanding of the spiritual field, the mysteries of the universe are very difficult to unfold and penetrate. That's why in the Mahayana Sutra, they have this famous sutra that can lead one back to the origin of time. And they call it the source. And the scientists call it the singularity. The scientists also acknowledge that there is such a thing as a singularity. That's why within a dust mote, the entire universe is there. Where it is from the singularity that the Big Bang and the expansion of the universe came about. So everything comes from this singularity. hence the singularity, will have the all-knowing understanding. That's the reason why now the scientists also agree to accept this point of singularity as the origin or the source from which all things arise. That's the reason why in the study of Buddhist teaching, there is this true nature, the original nature. It's not just the beginning of all things, it's the original nature as it is before creation, before mind arises, before consciousness arises, before all these elements, continent, planets, star system arise. And all these are in the teaching. That's why you have to ask yourself how the Buddha 2600 years ago can answer them when they point to the star. He told the people that the number of stars that are in the universe are more than the sand that you can count on the river Ganges. How can he know? It's because he has realized the oneness nature. His nature has merged with the oneness nature. That's why he has the universal wisdom and understanding to probe. Coming back to the understanding of why I want you to have an open mind or a free mind is to be open to truth, because the truth is not something you can easily understand. Even at this moment, my nature is still very open to receive truth. But this civilization of ours is very unique. At the time when I was born, based on our consciousness and evolution, we might have understood many things until this point. But beyond this point of time, a lot of new things will surface and arise because truth is unending. The end of the cosmic or universe creation is beyond thought, beyond mind. Cannot be understood by the rational thinking mind. It has to be from that nature. That's why if you don't develop the meditation and merge with that nature, a lot of these things you cannot understand. Even whatever I share with you at the moment, I never study them from the books. The books give me limited knowledge. Even the TV, the media, or the internet gives me limited knowledge of what living beings can understand at this point of time. So if you have that understanding, then you will continue to have an open mind to receive a lot of new things, a lot of new truth, and a lot of the unknown, because we never close our mind. We don't say that science has to be like that. We don't express an opinion or our opinion and limit ourselves to just this. So this is my sharing for you today. I respect your view, which is very good. You are willing to speak out based on what you understand. By speaking out, it creates very good condition for the sharing to be lively. So thank you for all the sharing. Now that I have explained this to you, you can still express what you want to express. It's not a problem. Well, this is just a Dhamma sharing session. The only difference is the people who are here are more interested in the sutra that we are sharing, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. If your view is different, maybe we can develop the sharing in a different environment. Well, this is a sutra class. This is not a normal type of sharing class. But today, I don't mind. Yes, a lot of you want to go back early. Normally, the first session, sutra class, is until 4:30. And after that is the meditation session. After meditation, you can ask any question. During that time, the normal sharing will be discussed. What is the time now? Oh, almost 5:30 already. What time you all want me to end? 5:30? Okay, then we can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, we will chant the sharing of merits, transform merits in Pali. After that, we can pay respect to all the great beings and Woody One. Then we end. Okay, good. So we completed the sharing. Huh? Oh, almost 4:30. Okay, we can have our break. Maybe now the meditation I will cut short to 20 minutes. Huh? 20 minutes of meditation. Okay. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to develop your daily life, cultivate the daily mindfulness, and stabilize your awareness nature within, and use it to meditate. Okay, now we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have.
Actually, just now, Radio share that one. Was it asked by my friend last time? The question?
I think it's Chui.
Chui, yeah.
Oh, your friend. I think your friend, yeah. Either Chui or your friend. I forgot already. It's a fine student. I know it's a lady, yeah.
Ivy, I think. She came back from UK, then I brought her.
I think so, must be, yes.
Yeah. Actually, she asked quite a good question, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. At the time when I was listening to it, it didn't have an impact on me, but just now when Brother Teo read over, at first when you read, go over, right?
Yes.
I was thinking, wow, how come I never heard of this before? It sounds very strange to me, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I never miss any, the Six Petra platform class.
Yeah, the Six Petra class.
Yeah. As I listen along, then I realized, hey, this one, like Ivy, because it is her style.
It's her style.
Somebody who
is very vocal and strong in his opinion.
Yes. That is her. And she won't budge. But then she asked, and I can understand because it helped me, like, when Brother Teo said that it's very important to detect, the delusion created in our midst of life, which I think for so many years I have missed out. But when you say it helped me and I can understand what was being said.
Yes, I
can identify with myself. So
yeah, now you are in the position because you can see how your mental intention actually create all these views, opinion, and conditioning. That how it actually affect you when you try to listen to something. But now with the Dhamma understanding and your more stable type of awareness, you can start to see all this movement. That's why you can follow what the discussion is all about and how the Kalama Sutta advice as given by the Buddha can help. Because without the Kalama Sutta, people are so opinionated. They have their views, opinion, and the conditioning. Then they are not listening actually. They like your that friend, Ivy. She because of her way, like she said, the way she was brought up, she's from a Buddhist family and she's a science student. Then she has this office experience where she really need to have a strong approach or opinionated approach to a situation allow her to stand up in society and all those things. So this is very common. And to them, it's like everything you listen, you must filter. If you don't filter, you can be influenced. You can be conditioned into believing and all those things. So I can understand her approach, her point of view, but she has not reached the level of understanding of what the art of listening is. Because she is not a cultivator, she is not a meditator too, and she only interested in Buddhist teaching because she is a Buddhist. So because of that, I need to slowly create the condition for others to understand too. Well, I later on knew that this will be transcribed. That's why when it was transcribed, I explained it in a very detailed manner so that people can understand.
So when Brother Teo was explaining, right, I wasn't really listening because I tried to relate to what I experienced during my daily life also.
You will be able to.
So I, when I undergo my daily life, right, whenever I feel like, you know, stress or anxiety, there are times I can detect it. I will just I try not to react to it. That means I don't scold back that person, the other person.
You are now more patient, more patient and more thankful because you can see clearly no meaning. It will lead to argument. It will lead to more misunderstanding and conflict.
Yeah.
So your first understanding is to be patient with what you hear with people. It's the first step to actually improve yourself. Well, it's only after you have developed this ability to be patient, then your reaction to what you hear, what you perceive, the habitual tendency will not have so much power over you because you can listen. You let them finish what they want to say. And because you don't react and stir and argue back, then you realize less friction, less conflict, less problem. That's why you are more at peace. Then you can reflect. Then you can improve your understanding so that you will know in future how you can approach all these things differently through another understanding that you have developed. Because when you patiently listen based on what you have understood last time, you don't have this understanding and you are not patient. That's why you entangle yourself, you become emotional, and all this continue to stir your mind, make your habitual tendency stronger and stronger. But now it's different. What you have started to do based on your new understanding is improvement to your ability to be patient, to listen, and not to allow all this habitual tendency to stir and to react and come out so fast. Then through all this, you will slowly, slowly move into the cultivation part. Then the cultivation part is to develop more stable understanding of what constitutes evil, why the mundane mind become what it is through its views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. And from there, we act. That's why we cannot have an open mind. The art of listening, we cannot just listen attentively then see whether there is condition to reply or not. If it's a genuine sharing, if the person is willing to maybe listen or pay attention to have a discussion or a sharing, then you will manifest. Otherwise, let things be. Like in the work environment, certain bosses want to be right. You don't go and challenge them. There are no point. Unless there is condition for you to say something or impact upon the meeting. Otherwise, no point, just let things be, because they are in authority, they are in charge. Let them make the decision. But when you are in authority and you are in charge, then you can make that decision. Then when you conduct meeting, it's not about right and wrong. It's about how to resolve issue amicably. Then you will know how to lead. You will know how to contribute. So all this are the additional benefits of having Dhamma understanding to help you to actually deal with life situation, deal with career, and deal with even day-to-day relationship and discussion with people. So all this will slowly, slowly surface, and you will be able to keep on improving yourself, just like now today you share this work was 2017, the talk was 2015. So 6 years ago, you can't really understand all this because you were not ready at that time. But you realize 6 years later, now you listen from the transcript and my sharing is so different now. You appreciate the sharing, the Dhamma. Then you can also now, based on your new understanding, that's why I always say, without you realizing it over the years, you have improved, you have changed, you have developed better understanding of the Dhamma and the approach to life. So all this, you see them, and you are now benefiting from it. Your ability to be patient, to reflect, to develop all this understanding is very beautiful. Okay? Yeah, Maya?
Yeah, Radio, very valuable, the Dhamma.
Yeah.
Help me go through life. But Brother Dio, I also noticed there are some instances where I can observe and then, you know, later on change when that thing happened again, I am more receptive. But there are certain things, you come back again, you know.
Yeah, initially it's like that.
Even though I have like contemplated and, you know, and put myself at ease already.
Then
sometimes I don't even need to wait for that thing to confront me again. Sometimes that thing will come up in my mind.
Your memory. Whatever your memory trigger on, the recollected memory. You know why or not? Because your stability or wisdom is not there yet. It's not to say you don't understand, you understand, but the stability or wisdom not there yet. So this habitual tendency take a while to subside or completely root out. You need very stable understanding. That's why the Yoniso Manasikara must be there and then that moment spontaneously come up. Otherwise, what happened is, like your case, you know, you have cleared it last time, but it still come out for certain cases, especially you recall from memory on that affected you very badly. So this one, when it trigger again, straight away you will know, how come I still have this? But don't worry, that is part of the cultivation. When it's you aware, don't blame yourself. Don't be like those so-called Dhamma practitioner or so-called cultivator who don't understand. They all get angry and say, "Ayo, I still react. I still got anger." This is wrong view. It's not you. It's the form and mind that doesn't have the wisdom that is stable enough to enable them to root all this out. But when the wisdom is stable and now you realize it cannot happen really, then you will laugh at it. You will smile. Then all this will transform. Then you realize, it no longer affects you anymore. Even seeing that person, witnessing similar event that can condition you to recall those phobia or insecurity or scars of memory, does not affect you anymore because you have contemplated deep enough, stable enough to know that these are all sankhara. What is sankhara? Mental state, mental activity. They are not intrinsic. Sankhara anicchang. Sankhara bring about suffering, dukkha. So why give meaning? Why attach? Why cling? Then all this is non-self. Anatta, he know you, he know me, no reality, empty nature exists. Then you realize, not what you think. Because if you are deluded, the mundane mind that attach and cling through delusion give meaning, that's how suffering arises. That's how things become like very real. So all this stability must go in through your contemplative understanding, contemplate until very, very clear. And after that, one day when you realize the cessation or you are able to insight into phenomena and see the universal characteristic very clearly through your direct seeing, means through your two mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. But then you suddenly like awaken, and the awakening is like very powerful, very penetrative. At that time onward, you will have your answer to all your this question. It will not happen again. It will just like no more. Allow yourself some time, patient. Then if you continue to diligently cultivate, all this can happen. Then maybe in another year or two after our next retreat or what, you will become different again. Then you can share differently. You say, yeah, good idea. What you say is true. Nowadays, no more. All this doesn't arise anymore. So it's a great improvement, really, when you can go through life, improve on all this understanding. That it has made you a better person, like you have said. Then you also come to realize certain things that is very strong can still surface, even though you have contemplated, reflected. It's normal. Well, this is what cultivation is. Habitual tendency, even the Tsuchi's abbot, Zhen Yan Fasi, she also says very clearly in her book that habitual tendency are not easy to deal with. Well, this has been there for so long. The conditioning, the consciousness, all these are already deeply accumulated by living beings. So hopefully with this sharing, you will understand better, Manyang?
Yeah. Have faith.
Yeah, Sadhu. Do you have any other thing to report or question?
There's another incident in the office that day also. Okay. It's similar to what I just said. I actually know that I wasn't happy during a meeting. And inside me, I was saying, don't ask that question, because if you ask that question, there will be conflict. But I couldn't hold back myself.
This is a very good understanding.
But then, Hello? I mean, I know, but still, in the end, I asked, because I was not happy with things.
Yeah. So now you start to see, the conditioning is so strong, because when you have decided not to ask, because that understanding that you have from the past, know that this question will bring about misunderstanding and maybe unnecessary emotion. So you already decided not to ask, but finally you still ask. Why? Because that thing is still strong inside. So it's okay that it happens. Then you will learn. You learn from it, because now the question is, Man Yuan, you have to reflect the Kalama Sutra. Is it the right thought that conditioned me to speak? Is it for the good of the many? If I speak this, does it harm me and harm others? And that one is your contemplation. Not to say out of fear you don't want to ask that question. So you have to contemplate what is conducive and what is not conducive. Then maybe through that questioning or inquiry, you can come up with a solution which is amicable. You modify your question. Because certain type of bosses or superior, they have certain character that demand certain type of approach, a softer approach to break the ice to communicate with them. So sometimes it's the way we ask that question, if through a skillful means, we ask it in a very subtle way that can actually ease out the situation, then they will be very happy to listen. Then they will consider your idea. So sometimes we cannot be too like very strong in our words or too blunt in our approach. So the way we approach it is very important. That's why these are all part and parcel of right speech. What are the appropriate, good, gentle, and appropriate right speech that can bring about understanding, harmony, then maybe solution to a problem? So normally what I do is I avoid right and wrong. Then I will suggest something that is very neutral, so that everybody can agree and work towards it. That's why last night, I remember when I conduct meeting, I always had this very good understanding. I said, please be reminded, we are not here to argue about who is right, who is wrong. You know, we are an organization. We have an organizational objective. We work towards this organization objective. There is no more about you, he, this department, that department, arguing about right and wrong. We are here together, trying to understand what is happening, how to resolve all this issue and problem, so that we all can move forward, so that we all can progress. So that is another understanding or skill that you have to develop. Then only like the Kalama Sutta, the most important thing is the question that you ask or the suggestion that you bring up, does it harm yourself and harm others? If it does not, then it's a good proposal, it's a good question. So you have to go slightly deeper into it. That is to help you counter whatever you are going through now. So it's good that you can see all this and you can reflect on it, contemplate on it, but you must also understand now why finally the urge to ask that question, because it's so strong inside you. So you need to go through that phase and reflect, contemplate, and break through it through skillful means, to better approach to the way you advance your question or you bring up your question. Then you need to have more what they call they use this word
yes.
Your relationship with people must be more like
diplomatic.
Yes. Call down and maybe amicable is another one. What is little more harmony, yes. Like you can like make people feel that you are not being sarcastic, you are not being aggressive, you just want to do something that can help out maybe the department or the company, so that there will be solution. So all these are the skill, the understanding that we need to develop as we go through life. Because we call this experience. As we develop more and more experience, we learn from people. That's why everything in life is a learning curve. So sometimes I attend high-level meeting, I learn. There are certain people who chair meeting, they are very good. They are very skillful and they don't waste time. I remember in the early days before I decided to retire, I saw a few of these, I think they are very senior people. They are the way they conduct meeting, they chair the meeting. Some are architects, some are maybe owners and all those things. Some are GM, some are executive director. So what I saw was there are a few who are very good. The first thing they tell the meeting is, I hope we understand. We call this meeting to resolve issue and problem, and we don't want to waste time on meeting, then nothing get done. Meeting is to bring out issue, resolve it, and move. Then he warned everybody, say, remember, take this message back. If you cannot make decision on behalf of your company, then don't come. You better send somebody who can make decisions because you represent your company. So by doing that, he cut away a lot of unnecessary, what they call, wastage of meeting time and energy. Even department-wise also say, you know, in the career field, there are a lot of people, when they don't like to go to that meeting, they send their junior, their subordinate. Miss, you are wasting everybody's time. Then the junior cannot make decision. He said, I will come back to you. I tell you, if the chairman is wise and smart, he will tell you all, why must you come back to me? You mean you cannot make decision? You don't know what the hell is going on? Then what are you here for? You're wasting everybody's time. So in that sense, I really learn from all these people. That's why I say we need to have leadership. We need to have skillful way of resolving misunderstanding issue and bring about the objective, the organization objective, to focus on issue and not on right and wrong, and not try to cover each and every department's mistake through blaming, through avoiding, and all this tai chi thing. No point. So for you, Munyan, I think it's good. You can slowly learn. You can slowly learn from all this.
Thank you, Rati. Very useful.
Yeah, okay.
So okay, I what I learned is I can still go ahead and ask that question, because that day after I asked that question, finished the meeting already, I contemplated again and I was thinking, maybe I should have asked that, you know, by asking that, it's like exposing myself that, you know, I was really unhappy with that thing. You know, so I, because that thing I know cannot be reversed already. Decision has been made. So what's the point of asking? But I just wanted to ask because I wanted to know why it happened that way.
It's because your emotion conditioned you to ask, because you are already like based on that emotion that you have, like you say, you know all this, but you still want to ask because it's just like you are not happy.
I don't know how why it happened, so I wanted to know, but I know by asking no use, because it cannot be reversed.
The decision is already made. So in that particular case, I would advise, don't ask in the meeting. After the meeting, go and approach that person whom you think maybe can let you have the understanding of why they make the decision. So that is a good approach. Because if you do it in a meeting, they may feel offended. So
that
it becomes
that meeting,
public knowledge, you know, everybody there know.
But that meeting also, big boss there.
So not so bad, No big boss there, not so bad.
But when I asked also, it wasn't like confrontation. Like I say, I knew, and I try to make it in a tactful way to ask. But in any case, how tactful, so they would know that I was not happy.
It will show up the way, the line of questioning or the line of approach will show up, your emotion or whatever. That's why relationship is not easy. To have wisdom or understanding to establish good relationship with society, with fellow colleague, with living being, is not easy. That's why you need to have Dhamma. You need to have good understanding of the emotion of individuals. Then you need to have the ability to apply Noble Eightfold Path to resolve things amicably. So all these are skillful means that we need to cultivate as a cultivator. In fact, Noble Eightfold Path is a very big topic, a very extensive cultivation. Even right view leading to right thought, then conditioning, right speech and right action, these are the two most difficult. In fact, arising right thought is relatively easy, but to communicate with right speech and right action, to be able to deliver, is something you need to really work on it and develop the exposure, the experience, the understanding. Then you continuously contemplate and reflect how best you can approach it so that you can resolve all these issues amicably and meaningfully, so that it does not harm anybody or cause any misunderstanding. So all these are we call respectful way that has the Dhamma. That the Dhamma way is no negativity. So whatever negativity, we must be able to be sensitive about it so that we can correct ourselves, root it out, so that our intent to our questioning or our approach to meeting or what is very sincere, not with motive, not with emotion, unhappiness. Yeah, all these are the result of evil root. You have the ego, the selfishness and all this. And that's how it conditions all this. So this type of purification is very, very refined type of Dhamma. We call it the subtle defilement, the subtle delusion that normal people cannot see. Of course, the gross one we can see, then we can overcome. But then later on is the very subtle one, very fine behind. Some come back through the back door. And without feedback, sometimes we doesn't know that all these things can have repercussion and hurt people or cause people to feel in certain way. That's why after some of these things were revealed to me, then I learn. Then I become more and more tactful. It's just like last time I apply my pure wish because I just learned how to use it. Then when the pure wish is so powerful, it caused things to arise, then I realized through that it can also cause certain things that has coming implication, but it's nothing to do with me because I do not have that intention. But because of my pure wish, which is very powerful, it conditioned thing to arise. Means these people has the karmic condition to be afflicted, suffer. So because of that, I reflected and contemplated. Then later on, when I want to apply any of the pure wish, I will qualify it. I say, unless it's for the good of the many, let it arise. Otherwise, no need, just let things be. So you will know how to improve on it through your understanding as you go through more and more real life experience, witnessing the reality. That's why this way, the Bodhisattva way, is a very beautiful way where you can really expand on your experience, your understanding. And it can unfold a lot of the cultivation wisdom that we need to develop along the way. So I always take it in as life itself is our greatest teacher. We can learn a lot of things from life. Without going through life, we cannot learn. That's why life is basically our relationship with everything, with the environment, with nature, with fellow human beings, with our loved ones, our colleagues, our neighbors, our friends, sometimes even people whom you don't like, how you establish relationship with them is very important. Even our classmates, our kayamita friends, So all this what we call Dhamma, because we have to experience relationship in relation to all this spectrum of people and condition and life situation. Very good.
I used to think that life experiences, those especially I don't like, it's like a chore, but now, you know,
it becomes the opposite. It teaches you.
Now I take it as like Brother Teo saying, it's a training ground.
Yeah, training ground. Blessing in disguise. Because if you don't go through it, you won't learn. Then you will continue to have the fear, the anger, the dislike. But when you confront them, take it up as a challenge, as a training ground. That's why the mind say, Moliana means you really train yourself down there. And you can overcome whatever life problem or so-called situation or conflict. Means your Dhamma understanding has already improved. You have already progressed. Otherwise, you cannot overcome all this. Otherwise, you get yourself more and more entangled, more and more like unhappy, miserable. That's what suffering is all about, affliction, sorrow, lamentation. Yeah, very good.
It is like sometimes when I listen to brothers, Jill's Dharma, right? I think, yeah, la, so easy, of course, I feel like that. But see, again, myself during life, right?
Yes.
When it happened to me, I didn't do like what you say.
Yeah, because
even though when I listen to you, I'm saying,
yes, initially you can, because when you listen, it's very easy, very easy, very straightforward. That is common. Don't worry. That's why you have to go through all this. So which means you are on the right training, on the right path. Yeah. So now you come to this understanding is very good. When I explain the Dhamma, it's like very simple, very easy, because it's all summarized for you all. Then when you listen, you actually can benefit one, but it has not stabilized. It has not become a part of you. That's why when it comes to actual realized situation involving yourself, you realize you still cannot apply it. You still cannot act out of it. Why? It's because Dhamma is like that. You have to go through. Then when you know that, then you reflect, you contemplate. Then you ask yourself why. Means my answer is it has not stabilized. And then you continue with the second turning, stabilize it. Then continue to reflect, contemplate. Then continue to meditate and develop the heedfulness, the mindfulness. Stability of mindfulness is very important. When all this come into play, fall into place, you become different. Very good.
I got two story to share, but
okay.
It's not regarding me, but I see it in other people.
Yeah, no
so
problem.
So remember the stuff I told you about that, you know, wasn't really working, everything.
What happened to her now?
So she finally given birth. She went back to her hometown. She asked for permission.
Yeah.
So before she gave birth, during one of the scans, she found out there was something
wrong. Can you repeat that, Manya? Your sound connection not so good. Just now, can you repeat? After she went back to her hometown and gave birth, then what happened?
Before she went back to the hometown, she went for a scan. That was already towards the end of her trimester already. So that was when she found out there was something wrong with the baby. Too late already to do anything. So she told me, actually, when she told me, she was really very sad. She said she cannot accept what happened. You really cannot accept, and she... very sad lah. So then she went back. She went back, she gave birth, and then
what happened?
She's wrong.
She also never say, she just say something wrong. So later on, eventually she told me lah, seems that the baby not what only happened? Down syndrome.
Oh, Down syndrome. Okay.
So, Down syndrome. Not only that, but have a other host of health issues also.
Oh, okay.
So it was actually terrible. But then I see a shift in her character, you know. Big shift. I was really surprised, and I'm thinking whether I can, you know, shift.
Oh, okay.
Because before that, you know, you find her missing in action. Probably
very good.
Ask her to do work, maybe 10 days later.
Yeah. So now she changed. Very good. Yeah. Your ability to observe the change and the shift is very good. That is mindfulness, observation.
It's very obvious, I think everyone also can see, I mean, if you are the...
Correct. You were sensitive, but for your case, I think the way you describe it surprised you that she changed.
Changed very... I chased after her, now she chased after me.
Yeah, very good. Sadhu. I think maybe she must have reflected, what she has done earlier on was wrong. That's why it resulted in everything.
if her baby was the karma that she has received, I think that was too heavy, though.
Oh, there is no such thing as too heavy or what. Nature's law is nature's law. Like today, I think one of the Kayamita also came and see me, and we discussed certain issue too. I said, no point, because Dhamma is not rigid. She asked me, she said, Brother Theo, since you know the Dhamma so well, why can't you point out to people? I say, people have their own karma, have their own condition. You cannot just interfere like that. They have to learn, because karma is such, you reap what you sow. Whatever happened to you this life is entirely dependent on what you have done in the past. That's why we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So like this case also same as like what last time one of my Kayamita told me. She's also a lady. He said, if the test is so severe, because his younger brother passed away, he said he would rather not want to be tested, because she was ready with the Dhamma and it came as a test. He said, it's so cruel. He don't deserve such karmic, like what you say to your colleague. But nature's law is nature's law. Nature's law is the way things are. There is no such thing as fair or not, harsh or not harsh, because it is all based on causes and conditions. If it's not harsh, she will never shift or change in the way she go through life. So sometimes you need to go through something very severe, then maybe it will turn around as a blessing in disguise, then situation improve. So whatever that happened, just like what Master Shenhua advised, you approach it with understanding, with faith, by applying Noble Eightfold Path, it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Because when you approach it correctly, the Dhamma way, following the Noble Eightfold Path, it will turn around. If you become more deluded and heedless, and you get angry and you react to whatever happened in a more severe manner, then the karma is going to hit you back more severely. Because karma is like that. As long as you haven't learned the lesson, it will hit back more severely. That's the reason why I always advise Kayamita. Whatever happened in life, how unhappy you are, how miserable you are, never react to it anymore. Never make yourself unhappy. Never make yourself emotional. So learn to be observant, to be mindful. Whenever you are unhappy, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. Then you have not developed the understanding of the Dhamma. That's why you have to be mindful. Then you have to come out of it. You have to apply the four right effort. Then you have to apply the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. So these are the cultivation that can transform the cultivator, improve on their character and understanding. So what happened after she changed?
Her work is, I'm very happy.
Very happy, sure. Even now she end up she chase you for the thing.
Sometimes she chase you, I stress also.
Means, then that day, it's a blessing in disguise. You continue, yes.
In that day, she was sharing a meeting. So I joined also. And the way she handled the meeting, I also very surprised. I thought, wow, I also cannot be like that.
Yeah, she has improved a lot. Sadhu,
do you? At a certain point, like she was asking a person trying to give direction, but the people who were attending the meeting, they were going all over, you know. I mean, she already given a direction, but still, for me, they were going off tangent, talking about other things. Nothing to do with the topic. I think if I were, I keep saying all that. Very patient. The way she also very thankful. After that, I complimented her really. I say,
sadhu. See, the person can change. For the better.
She's like early 30s. Third child. I mean, I thought with this child, difficult child, it will even be more taxing on her. Maybe she will focus on her job.
But it's
the other way around.
Very good. She must have encountered somebody who managed to convince her to look at life differently. That's why she can change. Otherwise, it's not easy. A person that go through all this normally it will be very, very miserable, unhappy, afflicted. And for her to have this change, it's not easy. Maybe one day you can find out from her, what makes you so beautiful now?
Maybe I will.
Because now he has become more responsible, more friendly, and more skillful in her ability to actually performance-wise and all those things. So after you compliment her, I think she will be very happy to answer you.
I did talk to my boss. I brought her out and I said that she have changed and she is actually doing a very good job now. I'm actually very surprised. And my boss said, oh, of course, I go and fire her.
No wonder. Boss also one of the reason why she changed.
But fire is one thing. For her to change after being fired, also not easy, right, brother Tio?
Yes, definitely not easy. But sometimes it's a wake-up call. That's why sometimes you have to be harsh. But your intent is good. Because when your boss, if he know how to fire with the right understanding, it's a wake-up call. Because otherwise, these people don't wake up. Because when your performance is so bad, I will also warn the staff and tell them all. I say, nobody can help you. You're lying. You better decide. If you continue to neglect and give all this type of reason, which has nothing to do with the work and the office, how can I support you? If people take action against you and want to dismiss you or display action against you, as your boss, I cannot help you unless you change. Then only they will like suddenly wake up. Because like you described in her case, this is her third child, isn't it?
Yeah, third child.
Third child. And got Down syndrome and other problems.
Mm.
So if she loses her job, it's going to be very, very severe.
Yeah, true.
That's why that wake up call decide turn her around. Because with that Down syndrome, it's going to be problematic. And they are going to spend a lot of money on that child. Without the career, they really cannot take it. So I think she and the husband must have discussed it out and decide to fix up everything, not to go back to the old way. Mm.
Yeah, true, correct.
Yeah. Anyway, you can find out, no harm.
Yeah, I will ask her. I think she'll be willing to talk because
definitely because she already so different.
Yes.
She has transformed.
Yeah. So that is one story lah. The other one, I also very unbelievable. Cannot be believe. You remember the dog?
Very good.
This one is a sad story lah. But you know the dog that pushed my mother down.
Your neighbor's dog.
That was last year lah. This year, 1 year later, just before the full 1 year lah, I think few weeks before, the dog will always be outside the house in the evening lah. So in the evening after work also, I will go out and try to walk around to exercise. So that day, I think the grab food of some dog really came to another neighbor's house.
Yes.
And he saw and he keep barking. So he was very active barking.
Okay.
Then around 9 o'clock at night, I heard him still outside running about, he go and hit into things. Hit into things very loudly.
Oh.
And then the owner opened the door, my neighbor, and look at him. And I hear them saying, "Ayo, what happened to him? He vomited all over outside the house." Then when they opened the door, he ran into the house. And I hear also inside the house, he was also like that, banging into things. Big commotion. And then after that, he ran out again. And then I think they closed the door. And then everything silent, So I thought nothing already. Then after a few minutes, the neighbor next to them came over to their house and, pressed the doorbell. And I heard her telling my neighbor, "Hey, your dog is in my house, I was thinking, how did he go to the
the other neighbor's house?
So because there's a wall, between their house. I'm not to say it's a very high wall, but nevertheless, it's too high for the dog to jump over. So then I heard my neighbor going over to the other side to get back the dog. Then I hear them panting, they are dragging the dog. That means the dog is not walking by itself, dragging it.
Unwillingly.
The dog, no sound at all. They are carrying something heavy like that.
Very badly hurt.
I heard the child, their son, started crying. "Don't die, don't die. You're too young to die because it's a young dog. The dog died, We don't know what happened also.
No reason, he go and bang against something.
He keep on banging everything in his way. And then after that, he must have jumped over to the neighbor's house. Then he died there.
That's very sad.
Very strange. I mean, 7 o'clock something still bugging, like nobody.
That's
then something died already. Funny.
Yeah.
Then
that's
I
life.
Was thinking, because young dog are a lot of energy.
A lot of energy.
Then because they say he vomited everywhere, ma. And then I think he defecated also as well. I didn't go and talk to them. I think he maybe eat something wrong, poison or something.
Could be.
If not, he
Then I think after the dog vomit, I think it must be something suffering inside. That's why he go and bang against thing. Because
When
people
exactly.
cannot take it already, they will bang against thing.
Yes.
It must be suffering severely.
Like that. Really pitiful, the way he died.
Sometimes all these things, you cannot, don't believe it happened because you witness it. Because when the dog create bad karma, the dog doesn't know where is the dog. Then what happened is, now the karmic take its turn. It could be more than what happened. Maybe in the past, similar thing must have happened. Then he caused so much suffering. Then now the dog karmically become the victim. He cannot back. That's why he need to, through karma, you reap what you sow. You cause people to fall. Now you bang and cause yourself to fall. It may be too many of those karmic things that must have happened. That's why these are all the possibility. So karma is very clear when you can see them. That's why to us, normal human being, we may think it's very strange. There's a very young dog, like you say, very energetic and was still barking earlier on when the Grab driver come and all those things, is still running around. Then suddenly at night, this miserable thing just happened. How did it happen? That's why a lot of things is coming. Even a dog, such thing can happen. So it's good for you to have the understanding because you happen to witness it. And it so happened you around to hear all this.
Because they were shouting big commotion,
A big commotion. Commotion is very loud.
Very loud.
Until the neighbor all involved.
But despite I never say a very good. No, I didn't. I actually, I hope that he will have a good rebirth.
Oh, definitely. I say very good is because for you to learn all this, for you to be exposed to all this, this is a very good life experience. When you go through the Dhamma cultivation, you will witness a lot of these things. Of course, you will have that loving kindness or metta to send your blessing to this particular dog. Even whatever rhyme or existence she may be. After his death, may she have a good rebirth, may she be in a peaceful rhyme, may she be well and happy and all those things. So the natural mind that has the Dhamma will know how to send blessings. Very good. Sadhu.
Radio, just now you say that when karma hits back, it will be more than what we have. It's not proportional, is it?
Yeah, it depends. It depends on the people. No, it depends on the people you hurt and you harm and how many people you have done it to. So sometimes, like this dog, my nature will roughly know what are the possibilities. The possibility is that dog that did to your mom, that is not the only one. Very likely in the past, there is a lot more. And who the dog do to, we may not know. Sometimes it could be cultivator. It may also be certain type of being that have virtue. Then when it created this, the karmic that come back, like you say, it may not be proportionate. is because we think it's not proportional, but you accumulate and sum up all those that the dog has done, or maybe previous life, not as a dog, as something else. That type of karmic friction, when it comes, it will become very severe. So we look at it as the proportionate suffering and misery is so disproportionate, because we only compare to what we witness this present life, which is what the dog did to your mother and bark at people. Actually, all these things doesn't deserve this type of karmic friction. But very likely, as I said, in the past, the dog, or in whatever form of birth the dog may take, he has done a lot of these things without having the understanding, means due to ignorance. They just do this type of thing. That's why when the condition arises, dog also can go through this type of coming thing. So when we look at life, that's why I say, don't play a fool with karma. You have to take care of karma. Avoid all evil. That is the advice of the Buddha. Ability to understand all this will transform your cultivation to another level until you become like dead serious about life. You will not like take karma very lightly, because karma, really, like I always say, don't play a fool with karma. Please always remember the care of karma. Otherwise, you will have to experience the friction of all this action or speech that we have arisen, or all the whatever things that the former mind has done. So all this is part and parcel of understanding the teaching. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So similarly, you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. And the fifth daily contemplation that the Buddha have already stated is very clear. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So we have to really take care of karma. Our life, almost 90% entirely depend on karma. We are not only born of it, we inherit everything. And whatever happened to our life is because of karma. And whatever we do is all conditioned and supported by this coming thing. So karma is something you cannot play a fool with, you cannot take it lightly. You have to be very, very careful about it, serious about life. Then your life will become different. So through this understanding, you can change your life. You can improve on your life. So all this sharing is very useful. Sadhu to you.
Actually, I've been quiet for a while.
Yeah.
And come to think about it, I think I have a lot of things to be grateful about.
Oh, Sadhu, that's very
cool. For the past year, the MCO until now, see things change so fast. Everything is really in a flux. Very, very fast. That before we can realize, it's already, split second, it changed, split second, I think I would like to express my gratitude to Brother Teo. Dhamma, and for all the profound Dhamma, and for showing the way. Recently, I live I wouldn't say I have wisdom, but I live a lighter life.
Much improved.
I take things much easier already.
Not like last time, so tense.
Not so tense up, not so tight.
Yeah.
I realize this
It's like actually recently like this recent month, 1 or 2 months, I realized it. But there were one incident happened last Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was like it was a very busy day and a packed day for me.
Oh, I thought that.
I forgot to I cook every day. Actually, I never think that I have to cook so many and for so many.
Yeah.
And this stretch of MCO, and forgot to take out. I did some food for lunch. I forgot to take out to defrost.
Oh, okay.
So I put it in the pot. So I was thinking, I heat up the water so that I can defrost it faster, so that I can get the food for my my lunch. But then the next door's house, the contractor come in because they start coming in to work because after the vaccination and after
they
start coming in and they need to discuss things with me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ask me to go over to discuss with them to confirm certain things.
So
my stove was on, and Tim and myself went over there to discuss.
Yeah.
So after 2 hours, when we come back,
completely burned.
Not only completely burned, the stove is like, because my stove is a glass stove.
Oh, okay.
Crack and explode, putting crack on the...
Yeah, I know. The surface crack. Yeah,
the surface crack and the glass.
Yeah, I know.
Flew quite far, no? Flew to the next room.
Oh, luckily you're not around.
Luckily we didn't burn down the whole house.
Yeah. Also, you're not around.
Then when we are still walking, why so smelly? Actually, until today, the burn smell is still there.
Yeah, yes. Because when you actually overcook or burn something, that smell is very strong.
And then my food inside the pot becomes charcoal.
Yeah, charcoal. Definitely charcoal.
And my pot, the AMC pot, it was so thick, the stainless steel also cracked. You know?
Oh, miss. It must have gone through a lot of heating.
But the thing that is that both of them just very calmly, he go and switch off and
very good,
get angry
good.
And we didn't, you know, it's just like, oh, it happened already. So he just go and switch off.
He has the Dhamma already. That's why he no longer react and stir and what the hell is going on? No more.
He didn't react and I also didn't.
Yeah, both also has the Dhamma. That's why you can.
He didn't react very.
Yes.
The thing is, we just go on. Okay, go and take the vacuum cleaner. Just vacuum.
Yeah, do what you have to do.
Small pieces of glass, and then today still we start cleaning up.
Yes. And this is what we call, sometimes there are various ways to find out whether your cultivation has already reached that stability or maturity or not. Then sometimes people may say, wow, this type of test, I would rather not to be tested. But it's not to say you want or you don't want. We are there.
It already happened. We cannot do anything.
Yes,
we
already happened.
And clean up. That's it.
Yes, already happened is one thing, but the condition for it to happen also very important. Yeah, it is something for you and gratitude to learn. Then next time, you will be reminded that you must not move out of your house without opening your stove. That's why in the early days, my wife also went through. But she, one thing good, she always remember, after outside for a while. He said, I forgot to off my stove fire. So we rushed back. Of course, we rushed back. Then when she went in, there was one case. The thing is burnt, but not to the extent like you're so bad. Crack and all. No. It's just the food, I think charcoal, the smell was very strong. But the stove and the pot was still good. So just clean it up. Then next time, my wife very carefully, every time before leave the house, make sure it's off the stove. Because you cannot take that type of risk. Because when we are not around, the gas will continue to burn. And like you say, lucky didn't burn your house. We have that glass to crack and split and fly to the various part of your house. It's already something very severe, and it shows the extent of the heat that has built up. Oh.
Yeah, but we totally forgotten about it because this COVID time, we were more worrying about
correct.
Come to contact with people that they have.
But whatever it is, like I said, because you also told me earlier on that you try to cook, which is very good because outside the case is too many, the positive case, especially Subang area, the infection rate was quite high. So it's good. But what we want to develop understanding is you should learn from what happened, and learn is you have the Dhamma and but you also have the Dhamma, that's why both of you all never react, which is a very good confirmation that you have the understanding. Otherwise normal people would have reacted and bosong, not happy, then complain here and there and all those things. But you all didn't. Like you all understand. Happened
already. We look at the food and we still laugh at it.
Yeah, you will laugh at it because it happened already. So this is the beginning of transformation and wisdom. When you have that understanding, happened already. Why you want to create a fuss out of it? Become angry, become unhappy, blame here, blame. All these are not reality anymore. The reality is happened already. So we learn from it and we move. That's it. Need to clean up. Like what you said, Brother Tiong actually did very well. Oh, happened already. Okay, now off it. That's why. No more issue. No more like blaming, getting angry. No point. This is what Dhamma is all about. That's why for those who have the cultivation, when something happened, that is the best test. That is the best check whether you have the Dhamma or not. Yeah. You no longer react and panic. Like last time what happened to my wife at Cameron Highland, when I saw that, I rejoiced. Because I was sitting next to my wife. We are having our, as usual, don't know, lunch or dinner down there at the kitchen area. Then suddenly, I think the warm water or the hot water, she accidentally spilled it and splashed over her own, I think you call that one, the shirt and the sarong. But she didn't react. Then I knew, I saw, yeah, I was next to her. I was away. Then after that, she said, wow, how come I don't react and I don't blame myself and I don't say anything? Then I saw her just clean up the thing. Then I said, never mind, clean it up, then get another cup. That's how she knows she has changed. Otherwise, you panic already. Sorry, all those things. No, nothing. You just accept the reality. Then just do what you have to do. Will happen already. So that word is very important. Happen already. That is the reality. It cannot be otherwise. You try to complain, react, stir your mind. No point. Because all this is not a solution, no more a reality. The reality is it happened already. Then you learn. Then from there, you check. When you do not react and stir, means the habitual tendency and all those way of perceiving thing all has been rooted out. That's why you can become what you are. So that is good Dhamma. Sadhu to you.
Everything that happened, I realize not everything that happened, we are...
You know why or not? Because this one is something physical, like your car accident, this one you can deal with it, understand or not? It happened already. Need to claim insurance. That this dharma easy to go in, but when it hit the personality, the ego, that one is different. That one, the ego is still there. The habitual tendency is this there, still there. That's why I understand why you say that. Not all the time you can handle it, because when it comes to the ego, the egoic mind, that one take a while. That one not easy to root out. But that one is habitual tendency involving the self, the ego.
Yes.
So that one is not just materialistic and stand up material thing. Material thing easier for people to give up. The more difficult one are relationship, sickness, disease, loved ones. That's why all these are the ego attachment. All this, they demand higher wisdom. You must break free from what they call sakayadity. Means you must really see the universal characteristic of this form and mind, the five aggregate. When you see the unreality of this form and mind, then only you can root out the ego, the sakayadity. Then when you come to the understanding, everything is not what you think, then everything just falls into place, then whatever, whether relationship or career or even disease or what, you can understand. The form and mind is just the form and mind. Take care of karma and do what you have to do. Then you will not be deluded by it. Like the mundane mind, use it. The vehicle, the form, use it for the good of the many, to cultivate, to fulfill your vow, to go through karma, to experience life, to live life. So use. So all this understanding need very penetrative understanding of the Dhamma. That's why that aspect of the cultivation is more difficult to achieve. What you've gone through one is easier. Easier for those who have the understanding. Maybe I have been saying all this and it's very easy to understand. Happened already, why you want to do all this. But when it comes to like relationship, somebody close, then let's say something happened, like last time Yun Chan used to comment. To others, easy to advise, let go lah, don't attach lah. But when it comes to your own loved one, it's not very straightforward. That's why Yun Chan used to mention, advising people is easy, but when it comes to actual happening to your own loved one, it's not easy. So that ego, the personality, you must see it clearly. That he know me, he know you. Everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, phenomenal world of consciousness. Where you can penetrate until no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma. Then only that one can be rooted out. So that phase, you need to really develop the understanding. But it can be done, Pama Sri, don't worry. You all have the parami. You all have the good, what we call, merits and wholesomeness that you have cultivated. Even this life, you all have done a lot.
But Bratio, all this is because I believe, is due to Bratio give us the opportunity and all.
Oh, also your karmic.
And all the Kayanga Mitas.
Yeah, of course, but it's also your own past karmic affinity with the Triple Gem. Otherwise, we can't meet. Otherwise, the Kayamita won't be what it is today because of past causes and condition and affinity with Triple Gem and with all our Kayamitas. So all this is part and parcel. Where causes and condition has to be a part of everything. Without causes and condition, this can never arise. So for you all, of course, you all always say, thank me, gratitude, all the same. But the way I saw it is you should thank your own good karma, your good affinity with all the great beings and the triple gem for you to have such a condition to receive all this. Well, all this doesn't come by accident, by chance. They come because of causes and conditions. So do rejoice and have gratitude, like what you mentioned just now. You have gratitude towards what you have received in this life. You know, these are money cannot buy. This type of Dhamma, this type of understanding, and this type of wisdom that enable you to transform yourself, to live the noble life, is not easy. And to have all this understanding during this sasana, you should have a lot of understanding and gratitude. Like you always mention, Zhen sheng nan de jing yi de, huo fa nan wen jing yi wen. So you already have those very beautiful condition of being born as a human being, encountering the Buddha Dhamma, and you have the condition to encounter the true Dhamma. These are very, very beautiful merits, very powerful condition from the past. Without the past, affinity with Triple Gem, all this cannot unfold, cannot happen. And this life, what Kayamita gone through, all our Kayamita and the cultivator has gone through, your merits, your parami are very powerful, very strong. So if you know to invoke power of merits to what you have cultivated and developed, it is going to bring forth a lot of beautiful cultivation in the future. That's why your bodhisattva vows, your whatever aspiration, when you invoke power of merits, like I said, you and Brother Tune, you all have developed a lot of wholesomeness. You all have held out in many aspects, and your generosity, your sincerity, your good karmic conditioning, all this is going to create the causes and conditions for more beautiful things to unfold in the future. So you only need to evoke power of merits to aspire for whatever your nature wants to achieve or realize in the future, and it will unfold, because these are beautiful merits and wholesomeness. So don't worry, Mama Sri Bhatiyo. Make it very joyous, Bhatiyo.
Bhatiyo, can I share
can. About, yeah, you can.
Last week, just one, about the Six Patria Sutta. When you go through it again, that is different. And when I recall the trip that when we go for the
China trip, yes.
Yeah, the China trip. All the places that is connected to. When I recall, it was like almost impossible for me to plan out the whole thing. This Six Patria Sutta, I only heard about this, the four verses. I only heard about that four verses about Six Patria. And I don't know the place where he was born. It's like very amazing for me that I can have the idea, the thing just come to me like that I should plan it this way.
It's meant to be.
Correct.
It's like impossible one. You look at all our spiritual trip, all those places we go and encounter, and the monks and all, say, I tell you, it's like impossible. How come we can get Mr. To do all this for us, and he get all the things like it just fall into place? It's because of our Kayamita force, our power. Before we go, a lot of things already happened. and they looking forward for us to arrive. And when we were there, the causes and conditions so different. The weather, everything is like we are very well protected, very blessed, and everything just fall into place. Then the other thing is the six patriarchs teaching the three hallmarks. Wu Nian, Wu Zhu, and Wu Xiang. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu is on the pillar everywhere. I remember Ingvi was with me also during that trip, and I keep showing Kayanamitas all the hallmark of winning on the pillar, so many places that we went to. So all these were really meaningful and beautiful. That's why all this understanding will unfold. And this is what you all have gone through. And these are the parami that Kayamita who went on the trip, and even those who didn't go, but because we had a common fund, we donate from Kayamita fund at least 2,000 every spiritual trip so that everybody can partake in this wholesomeness. So all Kayamita will benefit. Then when all these things unfold, do you know that type of parami? Because we somehow use the common fund to make offering, donation. Then the collective energy, what they call collective consciousness, when we travel together, the rejoicing, the Dhamma, the energy, everything. They will actually pave the way for Kayamitas to actually progress and move. And these are something people cannot understand. That's why I come out with all this website thing and our activity is because my nature knows this is the best way and the fastest way to benefit Kayamitas, Dhamma friends, cultivator, and people who are really serious about the Dhamma. That's why all these are possible. To you and President Teo and also all those who help out to organize all this spiritual trip, retreat, and make all this possible. Even the Kayamita Fund, our activity, the website, everything. These are very beautiful. Even those who help in the transcript, in the whatever printing and organizing of the short video, everything. Then the offering from Kayamita Fund to enable us to have all these activities and develop all the common understanding and sharing is all so wholesome, so beautiful. So really, we all should rejoice. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Anything else?
Brother, 还有一件事情, I would like to thank you and Sister Bo Cheng, Brother Hong, and Sister Lee, my nephew who is having his treatment in Singapore.
Oh, sadio.
Now he recovered and he's making his way back already.
Oh, sadio.
For 6 months.
Oh, sadhu.
All his procedure done and he's on his way back, making his way back already.
Oh, sadhu.
Thank you very much, Bratio, for all the support, Sister Po Ching and, and Sister Lee for help.
Sadhu.
Operation and all that.
Yeah, rejoice. Yeah, sadhu.
Also, I would like to thank Sister Alicia for giving me all the support and all this while all the period since last year my father-in-law passed away until now
and
for all that the
one,
support.
That one is very beautiful.
Thank you for all the support. I can find a reason to thank every Kayanamita for like Sister Elsie also has been support, text me, Brother Jin Hao also, and Sister PG, very happy and congratulations for the good progress.
Yeah.
Thank you for recommending me the contractor.
Sadhu.
They have been working well. Finishing already another 15 to 20% work. So.
Sadhu.
So
next time when open out, we can go there.
Yes. Welcome, Sadhu. Please come.
So our usual. Class or session, we can have it there.
Can, but that time very easy, really. No need to move the furniture already.
Yeah.
It's planned like a class scenario already.
Sadhu. Very good.
We are waiting, and then we can even have outdoor also.
Yeah.
Outdoor can
we can have Dhamma discussion and short retreat.
Maybe we can plan the detail later.
Yeah, no problem. Take your time.
Can't wait for the time to come.
Yeah. Sadhu. Very good.
My nephew is making his way back already.
Sadhu, rejoice.
And then he's making his way back.
Yeah. Rejoice with his good recovery too. The good time.
But lucky lah. It's the right decision to go there lah.
Yeah.
It's really a right decision to go there.
Sadhu. He was having this problem for how long already?
Actually, it started last, he found out January.
Oh, January last year.
January this year.
Oh, this year. Means quite
and
recent.
He cannot accept it because he come from a very good background.
Okay.
I can't imagine young people nowadays. He can afford to drive a Mercedes.
And
he is hit with this kind of problem.
He
cannot accept it.
Depression.
We went through so much difficulty to get him to get the operation done.
Lucky that
with all the prayers, all the supports. And he's recovering and he's making his way back next week. I think this week.
Sadhu.
It was so lucky, really.
Yeah.
He dragged for 6 months, you know.
They should
he dragged for 6 months to go the. And he even have suicidal thoughts, and we were so worried.
Oh, definitely, because depressive people, depression, sure got suicidal thought on when they cannot come to terms with the reality, with what happened, and these are first number true reality. And so young, he is so young.
Only 25.
Yeah, very young. Although he has the good life, he can afford many things, but...
He can, yes. That's why he cannot... Sometimes, it's just good or bad, we don't know. Young people, they have all the good condition to enter material life.
Yes.
When this kind of things hit, they cannot come to terms with it.
Definitely, especially at this age.
Good or bad, who knows?
Yeah. Very good, Sadhu. Then your ability to have this type of gratitude is very good. I realize I can see you start to experience this good mind state of having gratitude towards everything that happened to your life, what people have done for you, and how you create affinity and develop all this understanding. You have a lot of gratitude. Then this gratitude brings about a lot of awesomeness, virtue. And the mind state become different. That's why you have a lot of joy. I realize now you are so much more happier than last time.
Yes, I was. The words come in and just go out. I
you can hear them.
I just hear and then no.
Yeah.
And because that is his view, why should I go and perceive?
Yeah, correct. But you earlier on, you actually have that type of character. That type of character. It's not
very
easy. It's not
very
easy.
Strong character and
your character very strong one. That's what I remember in the early day. I was so surprised. I think this one you know. Well, after I think you managed to bring in Bertie home to the class. Then 6 months later, when one day you all take me and my wife and Sian and me phone to the Lotus Indian shop, I remember, where the mama on. So Brother Teo personally came and thanked me. He said, Brother, thank you so much. I say, why? Oh, he said, luckily because of you teaching my wife, and now we are on a very good term. It made my life so much happier and like so much lighter. Oh, he can see, that's why he has faith after that. Well, you change, you really change. Initially, you very ngangkeng one, you very strong view, very what they call your character. That's why contractor can see, they will know.
Sometimes the contractor also, when you ask them to do A, they purposely go and do B.
Yeah, because of that you get unhappy, then you score.
It's not that you waste your time later.
Correct. Then your character is
you change back to A also.
Yes. And your character is just like most teachers, pardon me for saying that, not all teachers, you all used to like scold the student, so you treat other people the same. So that conditioning, the character has been there for, but it's good. Now you change, you have become very different. You have become like very happy, very friendly. And the Dhamma this time really start to transform you, your gratitude all. And I can see you have become very different. Gratitude, the joy, the understanding. Sadhu, sorry.